Biloxi blues. It happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live. Not so live. We're not live right now. This is not live, but welcome to the Low Budget Live Bar and Bunker. That is the same song that we start with every week, and that is a song that I wrote that is very near and dear to my heart, called Biloxi Blues. Some of you in the comments sometimes are like, please change the song. And we might one day. I got a lot of songs. We might change it up. But Biloxi Blues has kind of just become the Low Budget Live thing. It's a Low Budget Live thing. So that's a song written and recorded by me. If you are new to the Low Budget Live, Not So Live podcast, and if you are new to the family, you are now a low lifer. Like it or not, whether you enjoy this fine program or not, you are now a low lifer. So congratulations, because that's what we call the listeners of the Low Budget Live and Low Budget Live, Not So Live podcast. Thank y'all for stopping in. This is the podcast for August 3rd, 2020. And you heard that correctly. August. Whew, we're in August now. It's the year that won't quit, man. It's the year that won't quit. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine earlier this week, good friend of mine. And I said, I feel like we all have this, I don't know, like, inside of all of us, we have like this internal clock, I feel like, with this, when a year's bad or things are going wrong, that like that next year is going to be, you know, when it clicks over. And with all this insanity we got going in the world, I don't know if it's going to click into 2021 and just be better, you know? I was talking to a good friend of mine about that. You know, will tournaments be any different in 2021? Will sporting events be any different in 2021? Because of all the hysteria and seriousness that comes with some of this corona stuff. I mean, it's a wild time. So in August, so not too many months left in this crazy year. And, you know, I remember thinking back in March, oh, man, if we can just get to June, like the summertime will make this craziness go away. And that's just not been the case. We are definitely adapting, I feel like, as a country into what we need to be doing. And I feel like we're doing it well in a lot of situations, you know, and trying to get things back online and going. So August 2020. So welcome. Glad to see you. I can't really see you, but I'll see you in the comments later. If you're on the YouTubes, if you're listening on Spotify and iTunes, I appreciate you. It's been a big week. We are over 150,000 downloads on those platforms there. And this week, and it may not sound like a big deal to some of you, but to this little old country boy from Tennessee is a very big deal. We went over 10,000 subscribers on Luke Duncan's Traveling Circus YouTube channel, and I can't thank each and every one of you. I try to do it every week, but I can't thank y'all enough for that. Can't thank you enough for the love in the Show Up and Shut Up series presented by Sixth Sense, me versus Stupid Dumb Darian. And we got it done again this week. If you haven't watched that, spoiler alert, but I'm up 3-1, baby. 3-1. Hopefully we can close our own out this week. And then we're just going to start another one. We're having so much fun with those. But actually, Darian just sold his boat, so it's fixing to get interesting. But what we're going to do. But going to try to close it out. We're going, he's getting to pick the lakes from now on. He says it's like serving in tennis. match point. So here we go. This week, I don't know what the rules are going to be. I don't know what we're going to do, but really appreciate everybody that watched that, commented on that, having a lot of fun with those. And certainly appreciate Sixth Sense for putting that on. Just like I appreciate the fine folks from StarTron and StarBright Solutions. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, getting it out of your weed eater, getting it out of your chainsaw, getting it out of your pickup truck, getting it out of your outboard engine, because nothing ruins a good day on the water like StarTron. Nothing ruins a good day on the water. Damn. I had to do a voiceover ad for them this week, and I nailed it. And it is nothing. It was their tagline. I was trying to slide it in here on Low Budget Live. Damn, y'all. That's why I should never try to read something that somebody else writes. Nothing ruins a good day on the water like ethanol and an engine that won't crank. So that's why we use StarTron. But I said nothing ruins a good day on the water like StarTron. I mean, that would be so if you drank it, right? It ain't going to ruin your day if you pour it in your gas tank. So sorry. Sorry, guys. I'm getting lots of videos from y'all shaking the StarTron bottles and sending those in and tagging me when you buy it, and support people that do support the Luke Duncan Fishing, Luke Duncan Traveling Circus Universe, Luke Duncan's Low Budget Life. So I really do appreciate that very much. So thank you so much to those folks. Man, this is why I was never a guy, I guess, that did voiceovers for commercials. I just knew I would screw it all up, but StarTron. All right, moving on. What? I'm telling you, I'm going to call this section the ultimate. This is the ultimate. Like, if this was one of those sports shows, you'd flash up the title at the bottom of this segment. That this is in the ultimate mom's basement internet troll ever news. I don't know if y'all saw this or not, but Garmin International, not just Garmin makers of LiveScope and other fine products, but Garmin International had all their software stuff from their like fitness apps and Active Captain apps that you work through to update your electronics and things. They had it all hacked by a Russian hacker. It's like something out of a movie. And in this mom's basement, he's probably a little bit more advanced than mom's basement, held it all ransom for $10 million. Now, it is against the law in the United States to negotiate with said web terrorist. So they didn't pay it, but they were able to reconfigure some things and get it back online. Garmin is a multi-billion-dollar company, you know, huge company. And this goes on. These internet pirates do this a lot from what I've read, but it affected us this week. Garmin is crazy. I talked to a couple of people there that had to deal with that. And holy cow, man, something y'all may not have heard about. If you weren't paying attention to that, you missed it. But yeah, that affected even our little fishing world. But and Garmin, they were able to get through it, but it was a hairy few days there. Hairy few days. But holy crap. I mean, you gotta be that's like something out of a James Bond movie or something. And you know, me and the triple threat, we've been watching a lot of 90 Day Fiancé. I'm going somewhere with this, people. And I don't know if y'all watch 90 Day Fiancé, but it's where these people fall in love with people from all over the world. They meet them on the internet, and then they get them a visa to come here, and they only got 90 days to get married, or the person has to go back. But there's a lot of Russians on that show. These dudes pick out these Russian chicks, and they're always like, all the Russian women are just like, I love America. So good to be here. And they never smile or anything. So that's all I've thought about through the Russian attack on Garmin was 90 Day Fiancé. And there's probably just some old dude that's just mad that some sugar mom over here in the United States didn't scoop him up and bring him over here. So he hates us because he ain't us, you know? Did you ever on a bass fishing-ish podcast think that you would hear a 90 Day Fiancé reference? I don't care. I don't care. It is the ultimate in trash, amazing reality television. And we've been hooked on it. Watched all five seasons lately. There's nothing else to do, ladies and gentlemen. 90 Day Fiancé, if you haven't watched it, prepare to have your mind blown by some of the craziest people you've ever witnessed. But a lot of dudes get Russian brides. And if the triple threat ever leaves me, you heard it here first, I'm probably going to do that. I mean, dude, you show up, you bring, say you go over there and like get you a lady from Thailand. She sees a bass boat. Dude, you could tell her it's a cruise ship. She ain't even going to know the difference. She's over there working, living in her little village. You roll up over there with a bass boat, pff, game over. She'll love you forever, man. These American women don't even know how good they got it. Oh, there's more to talk about than this. I'm just really enjoying myself, guys. We actually had this conversation today. And the triple threat decided she is going to the Dominican Republic to replace me, and I'm either going Russia or I'm going, you know, just somewhere where somebody's going to be loyal, you know, and appreciate you. She'll kill me when she listens to this. We had this conversation today, though. Really funny at my house. The things that they get talked about, that's for sure. So, anyways, enough about that. I'm sure there'll be 57 comments. We came here to hear about bass fishing, not TLC reality TV program. Well, you know what? You got both today. And you're welcome. Lord, have mercy. Moving on. Man, huge week in bass fishing. Lots going on. And we're fixing to hit kind of a break. I think MLFLW fishes again here pretty quick. But Bassmaster's fixing to be on a break. Of course, BPTs, whoosh, they're done. Done. But Mississippi River, keep on shining on me. MLFLW Super Tournament, 419,000 boats. Stoddard and La Crosse, Wisconsin. I actually think it was 201 boats to be exact. Had a few guys not show up this week. And the legend, Mississippi River legend, Tom Mansoor, won it. Legend. I don't know if there's ever been a local dominate in tournaments on their home body of water in the country like Tom has up there. I mean, you got guys in different pockets, and there's always the guy, man, he's been the guy for so long up there. When we were up there in 2000 and whatever, 17, 16, I talked about that last week. He didn't win up there. He actually won the Potomac that year when we went to the Potomac. But dude is just like making his own swim jigs. And he's really super dialed into what's going on there. And it was a super tough event, but I was glad to see it. And I think even Jacob Wheeler, who I think has gills at this point, I'm not sure what's going on there. He probably has to drink G-Juice to replace his slime coat and probably sleeps in a live well. Like, I don't know. I figured he was going to win it. I think everybody else did too. The guy just needs to, it's like I said about Jordan Lee, like just quit now. So crazy, but I thought it was cool on stage. I got to watch a little bit of the weigh-in, and Jacob, you know, kind of bowed down to Tom when he came up on stage. Really cool. Cause Tom is, he's super well-respected dude up there in those parts and on tour. But you know, there was a couple cool stories that came out of that event. Zach Burge, I thought, was going to make a run at it. Came up a little short. Burge made the top 10. Saw several BPT guys in the top 10 this time. David Walker, Cody Meyer, my buddy Cody, and, of course, Jacob Wheeler. Tyler Stewart had a big event up there, and it was interesting to see who did well. There were a lot of BPT guys that cut checks, which, you know, is what it is. Does that keep FLW guys from getting checks? Yes. It's still controversial. I've talked to some FLW people, FLW friends of mine that are not happy. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens if those guys go back and fish that again next year, talking about the FLW faithful, if all of them show back up, because the BPT guys are going to be allowed in again next year. I don't know how many BPT guys actually fish it. You know, you still had some, a lot of the biggest names didn't show up because of sponsor obligations, or as I like to call it, vacation, or as I like to call it, just nothing. They weren't doing anything, just not there. And then Brian Thrift didn't show up this week, which I'm not sure what's going on with that, because Brian will fish for a bass in a mud puddle or on the Great Lakes or wherever. He doesn't care, but he wasn't there. So I don't know what was going on with Thrifty this week, but I noticed he was not in the field. But all in all, some pretty cool storylines. The coolest one, other than Tom winning, coolest one to me, and Wheeler, of course, just dominating the sport. The coolest story, Cody Meyer, love Cody. Cody's super, super good dude. And Cody caught him pretty good the first day. Second day, hits something, a rock pile. There's plenty, we talked about this last week, plenty of stuff to hit on the Mississippi River. Plenty of stuff to hit. Hits something, destroys his lower unit. Prop shaft, prop, hole nine. Gets in the boat with Justin Lucas, who just won up at Sturgeon Bay, BPT. Justin puts him in the boat, puts his fish in the boat. FLW has a rule, and I believe Bass has the same rule, that if the other angler that picks you up allows you to fish, you can. So Cody has two fish when he gets in with, the way I understand it, has two fish when he gets in with Lucas. And before the end of the day, catches a couple, has four for like nine. And he made a video, hey, I'm going to end up getting a check because of this, thanks to Justin Lucas. He ends up making the cut, not just getting a check, making the top 50 cut, then gets his motor fixed, then catches him on day four, makes the freaking top 10, and ends up doing really well in the event. That is, to me, what separates bass fishing from other sports right there. That kind of story, that kind of sportsmanship, even though you're beating your heads against the wall trying to get a check on a stingy river, you pick up your brother. And then after the event, Justin went and towed him in. You don't see that as much in other sports, man. It's really cool that's how our sport is. I have a Tom Mansoor story that I have to share. In 2015, I believe it was. I think it was 15. No, 2013, I fished as a co-angler in an FLW Tour event on Smith Lake in Alabama. Day one, I draw Mansoor. Back when they had co-anglers, back before I qualified to fish as a pro over there in 2016 when I did all that. But anyways, I fished with Tom. Tom's got four rods on the deck. They all got the same jig on them. Smith in March. Okay. Looks like this is what we're going to be doing today. He didn't have a good day at all. He lost fish, missed fish. And he told me straight up that morning, we're sitting there, we're idling around. He goes, you'll get a limit, no problem. It's like, my co-angler buddy's been kicking my butt in practice. You're going to catch him. Going to be a fun day. And, you know, we all know how that goes. So it didn't go well for him. And I ended up catching a spot almost 4 pounds and another one. I think I had two fish, but it put me in decent shape because it was pretty tough. And it's getting later in the day. And they had been somewhere else, and I forget where that was. But anyways, Tom's like, we got to go, okay? And of course, my phone's up all day long. Can't be on your phone. My phone's up. We go running into weigh-in, and we pull in. He tosses me the keys. I go get the truck. And as I'm backing down, I'm looking, and I'm like, wait a second. What time is it? We were doing it like at like 3:30, whatever. His GPS clocks were on Eastern time, and we came in an hour early. an hour early. And when I like I backed the trailer down, and of course we've already checked in, and I said, "Dude, it's only 2:30." He's like, "What?" I said, "Dude, we got an hour left to fish, man." And it was kind of cold. They were biting in the afternoon. He's like, "Are you kidding me?" So he goes and asks Bill, "Can we go back?" Of course you can't, you know, once you're in, you're in. But that's my Tom Monsoor story. I fished with Tom one time. That was the experience. Fishing with Tom. That and Tom always took his yellow lab with him everywhere, and the damn thing would bark like the entire time he was running anywhere, and you could always tell when he was close. And I felt really sorry for some marshals and co-owners. I'm a dog lover, dog nut, but listen to that dog barking here all day long. Hoo-la. Super happy for Tom, though, that he got it done up there on the Mississippi, his home waters. Got to win him 100K up there. That's pretty dang cool. Pretty dang cool. MLFLW also had a Toyota Series event this week on my home lake, which I'm embarrassed to say it's my home lake anymore because it sucks so bad. But Wheeler Lake and Kip Carter from Georgia brought a tunnel hull aluminum boat and kicked them boys' butts. And it was cool to see how he broke it down because it's been fishing really tough. And he actually put up some really good weight, like 13 the first day, 13 the second day, and then 15 the last day. But what was astonishing to me is in this division, same division that they went to Eufaula for their first tournament down there, and that Josh Strasser, who's having a heck of a year, won that one. And they only had 85 boats in that one. Right, and that was the first one in the Southeastern Division. At Wheeler, they had 61 boats. The first day, Big Bass paid $57. It only paid like 15 or 16 places overall, and like 16th place and 15th place and 14th place, you didn't even get your entry fee back. I just think that that was a bad move, splitting up those Toyotas, Costas, Everstarts, whatever you want to call them. You know, they split them up into more divisions, and I think it's real clear that it hurt. For sure, because in the other divisions they haven't been full either so far. So but that's the overwhelming theme for that one. I wanted to fish the thing, but man, that ain't worth throwing you $1,700. And if you got to finish like fifth or better to win any money whatsoever, that's piss poor. So yeah, but shout out to Kip for that. And, you know, the other overwhelming thing from that event for me was how pitiful Wheeler Lake is overall. It's in bad shape. Our the state of Alabama, in my opinion, needs to do something about it. It used to be one of the most heralded lakes in the country. It's in between Guntersville and, of course, Wilson and Pickwick. And it does have big bass. It does have a lot of bass still. The smallmouth fishing has started really coming back in the last few years. But there are no largemouth in any numbers anymore. And something killed all the grass. But for the last 10 years, it's really been on a slow decline. And this summer in particular has been absolutely one of the worst ones weight-wise in tournaments I can ever remember. And there needs to be some kind of restocking program. Something needs to happen to Wheeler Lake. It's really sad to see, but like I said, Kip really put together a cool game plan and was able to pull it off. Won him $20,000 for it, and off to the races. There you go. And last but not least, this week, no guest this week. By the way, I just wanted to send it myself this week one more time. And here's why. This is why I'm not having any guests. These guys have fished their freaking tails off for 2 weeks, especially the Bassmaster guys. Then you had the MLFLW Super Tournament. Those guys have fished their brains out all week. Next week, I'm going to have guests back on and hopefully get Brandon Polinick on and Chris Johnson and maybe do a super show. I don't know. But I want to just do another one. I didn't want to bother anybody. As I record this on a Sunday afternoon, the Elite Series just wrapped at Champlain. Huge congrats to Brandon Polinick and Seth Fider and David Mullins and Kobe Krieger and Brock Mosley for making another top 10, Corey Johnston, Jamie Hartman for fishing a hell of a tournament this week. But huge congrats to Brandon Polinick for putting on a show. They all put on a show today. Mullins got some bad breaks. Seth fished guts out all week and just got beat. Brandon had a phenomenal day, and it was just his day. You could see it unravel. And I was texting with Ron Moore, Big Ron, and texting with Zona a little bit. And you could just see and you could just feel it happening. And the coverage was truly some of, to me, as far as drama and how tight it was in the standings, was some of the best coverage that I've seen. And in my opinion, will go down as one of the coolest Bassmasters ever. If you missed it on ESPN2, you missed it. You missed it. Because I was glued to it today. Couldn't stop watching it. Of course, you know, I consider Brandon a dear friend. I consider myself a fighter a friend. David Mullins a friend. Kobe Krieger is a friend. Goes way back. And all these guys, your heart pours out for them. Because, like, I want Seth to desperately hoist his first full field Elite Series trophy and the big check. Kobe Krieger is a veteran who has kicked butt and took names for way, 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 way too many years to not have an Elite Series trophy. And it was so fun getting to see him on live the last couple days, especially yesterday. He really got to showcase who Kobe is yesterday. It was awesome. But awesome footage of Kobe. And then David Mullins is a guy who I've known for a long time. He's a Tennessee boy. You get what you see with David. He is an absolute talent as an angler and just has never hit that break. And I really thought, and I texted with him last night, I really thought this was his tournament because with the weather, the way it was shaping up and everything, I really thought that David would get it done today. And David had the opportunities. He lost some freaking big ones today, which happens when you're throwing a crankbait with smallmouth. But he fished a great event. Great event. Awesome on camera. But in the end, Brandon has this huge school of better than average Champlain smallmouth, and that is key. I fished there several times, and there's a lot of 3-pounders in that place. There's a lot of 3.5-pounders, but it's that 3.5 to 3.75, and Lord help you if you can get some 4-pounders, it takes that to win there. And there's not a big difference in that. It's crazy, and it comes down to finding a school of them sometimes, finding the certain area that they're weighing a little heavier in. They kept touching on this on Bassmaster Live, that it is a, you're watching them, they just smashed them all week. Champlain showed out. It absolutely showed out. From Seth Fider catching big largemouth the first 2 days on a jig, like the coverage was great. Jamie Hartman smashing smallmouth on a Carolina rig, catching some big largemouth as well. And then, you know, Polinick catching smallmouth on a drop shot, utilizing his electronics to the max. Really cool stuff. And then today, like Seth switching it up, throwing a crankbait. Mullins throwing a crankbait. Kobe Krieger throwing a spook, catching two at a time today, losing a big one like that. But so many different techniques played. So many different techniques. But it showcased what a great fishery Champlain is. It is a terrible tournament lake if you're in the tournament. It's a fun one to watch. If you were there, there's no place on earth. St. Clair can be like this too. Those northern fisheries as a rule can be this way because it's really hard to make up ground. Like if you got 16 the first day, you bury yourself because it's so hard to catch that 20-pound bag to jump you up in the standings. So hard to cull those 3.5-pounders. And my rookie year on the FLW Tour in 2016, I had like 15 pounds the first day, caught truly 100 bass, sight fishing smallmouth, a blast. First time I'd ever been there, and it's a super intimidating lake. It's huge. But me and my co-angler, but we smashed them. And I'm weighing every one of them. You know, I got like 15 pounds. Come into the weigh, and I'm like 100th or whatever, 85th, 90th. I don't remember. But I remember having like just we're laughing and high-fiving and what fishing's all about. And then you get to the weigh-in, and then you're just pissed. I'm just like you zeroed. And catching 15 pounds there is almost a gimme a lot of the times. And I was so mad. And I remember calling my wife that night, and she's just like, what is your deal? You caught them really, you know? And I'm like, No, I didn't. And truly, 16 pounds, 16 and a half, that's the check cut that year. 17 made the top 20 cut. So the difference is the half pound average on those fish. And it's so hard to do. And she's like, well, you're basically in a 50-way tie for the check, you know, and it is. It's that close. So it is such a frustrating place. So for the guys that didn't make the cut there, it's not that they didn't catch them. They all caught them. It's a matter of getting dialed in, getting fortunate, you know, getting fortunate on this little bit heavier fish, you know. But such a fun event, and truly, like I say, I think could go down as one of the coolest Bassmasters, especially with the storyline. Paulnick, he made the absolute 1,000,000,000% right decision. I feel like you could not have him and Swindle both, the timing of them going back to Bass. Him, he had a top 10 at the St. John's River. Now he's got a win. He had a top 10 last week at the St. Lawrence River. He's catching them. And for him, and he said it on stage, that moment, that trophy, that not knowing what everybody else has got, that gut feeling that you're really doing well for five big ones, and that's what he missed. So he, without a doubt, made the right decision. And now you look at everything going on the other side, and they're fishing FLWs, and it's just a kludged-up mess, and they made the right move. There's going to be some other guys make that same move next year. Without a doubt. There's going to be some guys, because the contracts are null and void. I was told that this week for BPT. If you're Swindle and Pollock, do you try to go and get your money back? That $25,000 a year thing's gone now. So you're going to see some guys moving and shaking. I really believe that. But I think for Brandon personally, and this is what he talked about when he came on the podcast originally, about his decision, it's what it was about for him. It was about those moments. It was about getting back to his – he's a Bassmaster dude through and through, and – it was really cool to see him hoist a trophy. He's got several wins now, and anybody that thinks that field over there is inferior or don't catch them, you ain't keeping up very much. They're smashing. Those dudes are catching them, because you look at a guy like Swindle, he's having a rough year. And it's just a testament to the young guys that are over there and the guys that, you know, aren't on a lot of fishing fans' radar because I hadn't been following them for 15 years. They're smashing them over there, man. They're smashing them. And it's the same as FLW. Same as the FLW guys you've never heard of that you know, occupy a lot of those check spots fishing against 50-whatever of the BPT guys. There's a lot of great fishermen in this country. And just because their name's not Van Dam or Swindle or whoever, you know, fans don't necessarily know them. But man, if you're watching, you're missing out on some fun stuff. That's for sure. That is for dang sure. For those of you that are new to the show, this right here, I'll tell the story real quick. Because it's been a little while since I got this, but this little butterfly right here is very important to me. I have people comment every now and then wanting to know what it is, and I can tell that they're new to the program. This butterfly, my mother, passed away October 20th last year. Talk about her a lot, miss her a lot. And she loved butterflies. She raised butterflies at her house, her and my dad. And I've talked about that several times, but after she passed away, I got a package in the mail from a bee pollinic. And Brandon sent me this with a very nice note. And it's something I'll always cherish, and it meant a lot to me, and it still does, and it always sits right here next to me on the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. And that is a testament to we can talk. You can talk wolves and sheep. You can talk MLF versus bass. But the greatest thing about this sport is, just like I said with the Justin Lucas, Cody Meyer incident, is most of the people are really freaking great people. And it is a family. It's a family divided at times, but it is a family at the core. And stuff like this right here, that's what makes guys like Brandon Pollinick. It doesn't matter if he ever catches another smallmouth bass to me. Doesn't matter where he fishes. I'll always pull for that guy. Always. So, huge congrats to him and Tiff. We're going to try to get BP on here soon. I'm sure he'll do the podcast radio interview gamut this week, talking about his drop shot. He's talking about X-Zone lures. I'm not familiar with those. You can drop a comment below if you're watching on YouTube. If you've ever fished those little, I think he said the Slammer or something, little X-Zone lures, little soft plastics. Never fished those. I thought it was all about the flat nose Berkeley Max Scent Flatworm or whatever. That's the greatest bait of all time for smallmouth, apparently. But he was smacking them on that thing today, the X-Zone lures. So very cool. I'm sure it'll be on his YouTube channel. It'll be great. But I think that bass, you know, I talked about, it was in limbo. There were anglers upset about going to New York. And I think once the dust settled, the guys that were pissing and moaning, not wanting to go, probably shut their mouths because they were two great events. They were well-needed events, I think, for the entire sport. I think that they were much-needed events for Bassmaster, because they haven't got to fish a lot this year. But to be showcased on ESPN2 has been pretty freaking awesome. And I don't care which side of the fence you're on in anything, if you don't think that wasn't good for the sport of bass fishing, you're wrong. Unless you're like a mad soccer fan, because bass fishing was on and there were some of those comments. But it was cool, man. And it's just easy. We're lazy as a society, but I love being able to just in my dang, in my comfy clothes, get on the couch, pop up the big screen, and I got ESPN2 right there. Boom. That's fun. So it's been really cool. The guys did a great job. Great job. And I'll be honest, I did not get to watch, for two reasons. I didn't get to watch as much of the Super Tournament live coverage with Todd Hollowell and Travis and Marty Stone. I didn't get to watch as much of that. Marty, I only talk about BPT Angler Stone. I had a lot of people send me that. I don't know if that's the case or not. But I didn't get to watch as much of that event just because the ease of watching ESPN2. And they were catching the crap out of them, and the Mississippi River was stingy. And I don't really like that place. So I didn't pay as much attention to that. Oh, before I forget, a lot of you reached out to me about this. Got to scratch my nose. My nose is itching. Keith Boucher. I meant to talk about this at the first. This is what happens when I don't write stuff down. ADD. Keith. A lot of y'all sent me this. A lot of people have had questions about this. I'll tell you what I think, which is what I think you want to know when you send me stuff. Keith Boucher. He had like 13 pounds the first day at the Mississippi River, and he disappeared. Off standings for day two. He was disqualified for kind of a bizarre, weird rule. I got a lot of opinions on this. Keith Poche, and I appreciate all of you that reached out. A lot of people reached out about this. And I hadn't heard it, honestly, until people started sending it to me on Instagram. But Keith runs an aluminum boat, an aluminum Ranger, aluminum Triton on the BPT. It's what he runs all the time. Well, he showed up at La Crosse with a smaller aluminum boat with a smaller engine, probably so he could get in and out of some areas that guys couldn't get into with big fiberglass boats. If I'm guessing, it was probably for an advantage. I think he said it wasn't. Okay, whatever. If you show up with a small boat with a 90 horse, you're probably trying to get into somewhere that, you know, most people can't, I would think. Because there are my 520L is not going into places you can get a small aluminum boat with a 90. But anyways, FLW has a rule, and it's the John Cox rule. That's what I like to call it. It's John Cox rule. They can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's John Cox rule. John Cox won on the Red River, infamous tournament. If you've never seen it, he like pushed his boat through a culvert. It's incredible. But he was in a little Crestliner that he owned, and it had like a 90 on it. And I think he fished the entire trail out of it. Anyways, he wins. But a lot of people complain, hey, this is not cool. And so FLW has a minimum horsepower rating. They say it's for safety. I don't disagree with this. Minimum horsepower rating of 150. Keith Poche paid his entry fee, I think. I think the BPT guys are paying entry fees. There are some rumors they're not into FLW. I don't know. Personally, don't really care. But he paid an entry fee into an FLW. He didn't read the rules. So is the rule weird? Yes. Does he have the right to gripe and complain and make videos and say he'll never fish another FLW again or whatever? I saw the video. He was mad in the heat of the moment. No. Read the rules, dummy. I mean, that's my thing with it. Read the rules. If you're in any event, you better know the rules. They ask you sign waivers saying you read and understand the rules. And every tournament you ever fish, pretty much. So read the rules. You know, they let him fish the first day. It's probably crazy at boat check. Nobody probably noticed it. Somebody protested him and they DQ'd him. That's how things work. But you got to read the rules. Whether you agree with the rule or not, you got to read the rules. Now, I'll say this. You know, Bassmaster has a rule where you have to start the season and end the season in the same boat, you know, barring an emergency, mechanical issues, whatever. And what that rule is there for is so if I, Luke, have a super cool tunnel hole Ott Defoe aluminum boat and a cool bass boat and another aluminum boat, I can't pick and choose which event I want to use those. You know, I get the rule because they try to create a level playing field. And that's pretty much what FLW is trying to do with that rule as well. It's high risk, high reward to run a boat like that. And that's what I would say for Keith, like running a boat with a 90, like you're stuck to wherever you're going. You can't move around as much as a guy with a 250. But you know, it is an unfair advantage if you've got access to an aluminum boat and another guy doesn't. Just like Kip Carter just won the Toyota Series out of a 15-year-old tunnel hole that he's got, that he's had forever. And that's, you know, that's what he won in. And it definitely helped him in his victory. Not everybody's got access to one of those. I think Bassmaster actually, I'm not sure what the rule is after Ott won a couple out of tunnel holes. I think they might have changed that. And rightfully so. I get it. Not everybody's got one. You know, used to, you could show. I had a jet drive. I actually sold it because you can't use them in any kind of tournaments anymore, really. I used to fish BFLs years ago out of a jet drive, little jet drive. And I get it. Not everybody's got one. So now FLW's rule is 150 minimum. But yeah, a lot of people sent me that. You know, I just think you got to read the rules. You got to know the rules. You know, somebody from FLW probably should have called it day one, but there's a lot going on at a blast off with 200 boats, Lord knows, in the dark. So nobody probably noticed it, and somebody probably didn't know the rule, you know. But I do think it's funny, though, to be, if you're a BPT guy, and that's what you're doing, and Keith does well over there. He catches them over there better than he did at Bassmaster. He catches them over there, I feel like. And he caught him on the MLF, the TV show, too. But I feel like if you're a BPT guy, it's very strange. And I'll never fish another FLW event. Well, it's kind of one and the same. They're the same now. So, anyways, forgot to mention that in the beginning. That was something that a lot of you wanted me to talk about. And that's just where I'm at with it. I think the rule is, you know, the minimum's a little strange because you do limit, you know, Steve Kennedy, I think he had a 90 on a Bass Tracker forever on the FLW Tour for real back in the day. He used to take my money in BFLs in it all the time. I think it was a 90, might have been a 115. But, you know, there's a safety thing. You don't want to be at St. Lawrence River in something like that when it's blowing, but that's kind of on you. It's high risk, high reward. You might be able to slide somewhere nobody else can get. So I get all points on it. I understand he was mad. He was catching them. He was probably going to make the cut, have a chance at a top 10 there, I'm sure, fishing out of the boat. But got to read the rules, plain and simple. Got to read the rules. Just like I was asked yesterday, somebody said, does FLW have a rule against culling a dead fish? And they don't. They don't. They never have. I think somebody said that somebody culled one yesterday. That was trying to die or was dead. And that's not against their rules. It never has been. I know it is with bass, and I think it is with several tournament organizations. I know even Miss K and the Alabama Bass Trail down here, they you can only weigh in one dead one and you can't cull, and that's intense. So it makes fish care. And nobody's out here trying to kill fish, and nobody wants to have to throw one back. But when you're in a pressure cooker situation, of course you're going to cull one if you can, and it's not against the rules. Now, is that ethical, unethical? Well, of course not. You don't want to throw a dead one. And now a lot of states have laws against it. So I don't know. But that's something I'm sure will change as MLF, you know, they're definitely the, I forget what the tagline is, something about the future, or, you know, enhancing the sport or whatever. And all the fish care stuff, I'm sure that one will get changed because it's came up a couple times recently. You know, it came up at Chickamauga. Jason Reyes called a dead one, then heard some stuff from up there too. So, you know, it's a bad look. It's a bad look, but it's been going on forever. It just never was spelled out. It just never was written. So that'll get changed, I'm sure, for next year. Have no doubt. They've got one more event going into there at Sandusky. Regular season event, and then they have the title event, they're calling it, at Sturgeon Bay. I forget how many guys go to that. No Forestwood Cup, of course, and the BPT guys don't qualify for the title event at Sturgeon Bay. And I think they're going MLF style in that. Every fish counts, I'm pretty sure. Maybe wrong. It was like that the first year, but a lot has changed this year, so I'm not sure. So only a couple more events for FLW. Bassmaster's got several more coming up. Hopefully we can get them done. I feel like I'm on bated breath with the entire tournament schedule right now, and I think everybody that fishes them, you know, of course they are too. It's a strange time, guys, but just make sure you're watching as much bass fishing as you can, supporting the guys and supporting the people that support the sport. For sure. Lots of bass fishing was watched this week, I'm sure. But I think there's a week off, and then Sandusky Bay for the last FLW regular season event. And then the elites are at St. Clair, which they had a BFL at yesterday, and they smashed. It was like 25, 24, 24, 24, 24, 23, 23, 23,000 pounds of smallmouth bass. They caught a lot of them. A freaking bunch of them. Thank y'all for listening, guys. That's my rants and rambling and mouth running for the week. Thank y'all so much for listening. I can't thank you enough. Even if you don't like everything I got to say, thank you for coming back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching Show Up and Shut Up We're going to get, hopefully, Game 5 filmed this week. We're going to figure out a way. I think stupid, dumb Darian's losing his boat this week, so he may have to borrow a boat to get that beat down, we hope. But all the comments on that have been so much fun. Thank y'all for watching, and the views have been great. It's been really exciting to see. So thank y'all so much for that. I really, really, really appreciate that. And hope y'all all have a great week. Going to take you out of here with some Biloxi Blues. Be sure, as somebody reminded me last week, I forgot to say it. I always like to say it. Be sure to hug your dang mama. Hug your mama's neck. And until next time, here's some Biloxi Blues. See y'all next week. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.